Are you real? Are you relevant? Are you enthusiastic? Are you authentic? And most of all, are you loving? Because that's what the world is looking for.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
Foundations for Living is the radio ministry of Van Buren United Methodist Church and is underwritten by our friends at Fincan and Ford in Hartford City. We are happy you tuned in, and we invite you to be our guest as we listen to Reverend Cindy Osgood, pastor of Van Buren United Methodist Church, and we explore together Foundations for Living.
Good morning. Welcome to the Van Buren United Methodist Church.
We go back to Genesis, back when language was an interesting place in the Tower of Babel. So we read from Genesis chapter 11 this morning. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words, and they migrated from the east, and they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. And then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top up in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered upon the face of the earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. And therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth.
Scripture lesson comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 through 13. "So I want you to know that no one speaking by God's Spirit says, 'Jesus is cursed.' No one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit gives them. There are different ways of serving, and yet the same Lord is served. There are different types of work to do, but the same God produces every gift in every person. The evidence of the Spirit's presence is given to each person for the common good of everyone. The Spirit gives one person the ability to speak with wisdom. The same Spirit gives another person the ability to speak with knowledge. To another person, the same Spirit gives courageous faith. To another person, the same Spirit gives the ability to heal. Another can work miracles. Another can speak what God has revealed. Another can tell the difference between spirits. Another can speak in different kinds of languages. Another can interpret languages. There is only one Spirit who does all these things by giving what God wants to give to each person. For example, the body is one unit and yet has many parts. As all the parts form one body, so it is with Christ. By one Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Whether we are Jewish or Greek, slave or free, God gave all of us one Spirit to drink.
So hear these words as they come from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came the sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared upon them, and a tongue rested upon each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they said, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and other parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In their own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" And others sneered and said, "They're just filled with new wine." But Peter, that one who had betrayed, that one who had walked away from Jesus, who had been restored, and Jesus said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, I love you, Lord." "Do you really love me?" "Yes, Lord. Do you really love me?" That Peter stands with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem. "Let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these who are here are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what is spoken through the prophet Joel." And he goes back to the Old Testament, what we know to be the Old Testament. "In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. And your young men will see vision, and your old men will dream dreams. And even my slaves, both women and men, will, in those days, will my Spirit be poured out upon them. And they too will prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and the signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Was it the Tower of Babel? Language became such a huge issue. Those folks wanted to build a tower, and they all knew the same words, and they were understanding one another, and they wanted to become like God and know God. And I guess, to pardon the expression, you might say they were getting a little bit too big for their britches, if you will. And so God came down to look things over, and he said, "We have to fix this. We have to change things." So he confused them and sent them to all the parts of the world, and off they went. And so, many years later, we come to this story in the book of Acts, where all the generations were gathered and came from far and near, and they were caused, this time, to speak in multiple languages, because the Spirit had begun to pour out upon them and they were speaking in their native language. Well, Pentecost is a time of high drama. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be in that room? Imagine it was a room this size and there were as many of you or more in that room. And suddenly today that Spirit would come upon each of you and there'd be a flame hanging over your head and you would suddenly be able to speak another language that maybe you didn't even know you could speak, and your neighbors could understand you. Would that not be an imaginary, amazing thing? would be what we call high drama worship. It wouldn't be like anything you'd ever experienced before, I expect. But I want to ask you something. Have you ever been in a service of worship where there's been what I call high drama? Ever been in a service where there's been high drama, where you knew that God was acting, God was present, the Spirit of God was moving? For me, one of those times, and God doesn't show himself, but ordination is always that time. I see, you know, for being on the Board of Ordained Ministry, and I've sat there and I've watched and I've helped examine those folks, and I know their journey, to see them have everyone laying hands on them, that's drama for me. Funerals can be high drama at times, believe it or not. Weddings can be drama at times. Even simple morning worship can be high drama if we know that God is at work in our world and at work in us. Well, I want us to think about, what does this story of Pentecost have to say to us in the 21st century? And I want to share with you some things that I've been reading out of a book by Stanley Hauerwas and William Willimon. Pentecost, my friends, was the beginning of a new thing. That new thing was the church. And the church, though, is not a new thing. It's really, some might say, an old thing. But we need to revitalize the church, do we not? The church needs to become new and different for us to be active and at work in the world. We can't just keep on doing the same old thing the same old way. Pentecost brought peace to Jerusalem. And those first Christians were healed not because of the differences of the institutionalization of one language to replace the many, but rather they became a multilinguistic community of faith so that they would become a witness to the peace brought about by the cross of Jesus Christ. Multilinguistic in the sense that each of their stories was different. Their languages and their stories were their language. And they each had a different story, just as we have a different story about how the cross and about how resurrection has changed our lives. And we need to continue to be that community of faith that speaks that multilinguistic language and speaks to those not only within us, but those beyond us as well, who haven't heard the story. You see, the early Christians had to use a language of learning how to speak to the stranger, because the stranger who came among them was Jesus Christ. And they had to learn the language of Jesus Christ. They had to learn the language of forgiveness, the language of salvation, the language of reconciliation, the language of peace, because that's the language that Jesus spoke. And they had to learn that new language and take that out into the world. And that's no different for us. We have to learn that language. That language has to be part of who we are on a daily basis. Are you real? Are you relevant? Are you enthusiastic? Are you authentic? And most of all, are you loving? Because that's what the world is looking for. They're looking for relevance. They're looking for authenticity. They're looking for enthusiasm. They're looking for love. But we always ought to be glad and ready to share with others the opportunity about who Jesus is in our life. And we should be as enthusiastic about sharing our gospel message with the others that we run into as well, because they need to hear it. The Pentecost story, my friends, is the Holy Spirit breaking in to give the church its mission to tell the story of Jesus' death and resurrection over the clattering noise of isolation, violence, and the babble of the world today. That sound true for you? We have a lot of violence. We have a lot of babble. We have a lot of clatter going on in our world. But it's difficult for God to break through that sometimes, because we're sometimes part of the babble and the violence and the clutter. And we've got to be the ones who break away from that and be the voice of the church and share the story of Pentecost and of the church. And so as the Holy Spirit rested on those that day in Jerusalem and rested on Jesus, it now rests upon each one of us. Our task in word and deed, in action and activity, is to point our lives to Christ, which is lived out in the Apostles' Creed. You remember the Apostles' Creed? Probably used to say it here a lot, long time ago, and we've kind of gotten away from those creeds. But currently, because we're not a creedal church. We're not the Catholic Church. We're not the Lutheran Church. But you know, the thing about the creed, and there's nothing wrong with them, but the creeds don't contain everything there is that can be said about God. But yet we need to go back to those creeds once in a while and remind ourselves of what they mean. So I want you to hear that last section and see if this is true for your life. See if this resonates with you. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Is that true for you? That's our story. Yeah, amen. I better finish that off. That's our story, friends. You know, it starts with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And then it shifts to Jesus Christ, his only Son, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, was raised on the last third day, rose again from the dead. Then it shifts to the Holy Spirit. We hear all about the three natures of God. But you see, we have to remember that when the Holy Spirit came into the world, he or she was already present. The Holy Spirit wasn't something new at Pentecost. It had been there all along. The Spirit had been there in the beginning of creation. Remember, the Spirit hovers over the face of the deep. It was present when it spoke to the prophets. We hear about David. We hear about Solomon. We hear about Moses. God's Spirit was present with all of those people. And then God shows up to create and fix the world by bringing his Son into the world. And then he poured out the Spirit. And that Spirit is present today, speaking to old men, young men, women, men, poor, rich, middle income, whatever. But we're all called by that same one. And the Spirit will give us the words, just as he gave Peter the words that day in that temple in Jerusalem. You say, but I can't speak. That's what Moses said. Look where it got him. He had Aaron to help him. But Moses was the voice piece. Moses was the one that God spoke to. So if God can give Moses the words, he will surely give you and I the words. You know, I believe firmly that the Spirit has his hand firmly upon me when I preach. Because sometimes, even though I have the words on the paper, I don't always have the whole sermon printed out on paper. It's coming from God, right from God for me to you. So the Spirit is present when I speak. And I think the Spirit is present with you when you speak. And especially when God puts you in front of somebody who needs to hear your story. God will give you the words. God will give you the ability to share the real person of Christ through you. We have to be listening, however. The church is the witness to the incarnation of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. How will we share the witness that we're not the light, but we are the witness to the light? Remember what John says in John 1? He said, John came ahead of Jesus. He was not the light, but he bore witness to the light. And so we're called to be the witnesses to that light of God, that Spirit of light of God. Together we can be more. And if we allow ourselves to draw close to the Spirit and guide our work and witness and mission, we can do more together. Together we can do more because of the Spirit living and working in us. We closed 10 churches this year. That's unfortunate. But we started 12 new churches. And one of those churches in Washington, Indiana, is a church that ministers to a Haitian population. Ministers to a Haitian population. Together, we can do more. You know, we might regret sending money to the conference because we're not always sure that it's going to the right places. But when I hear things like that, I know that we are doing what we need to do. We are reaching out and we are transforming the world in which we live. Commissioned 8 new candidates for ministry. We ordained 12 folks. There would have been 12. We had one of our class this last spring who unfortunately was approved for ordination but passed away shortly after her ordination election and now resides in the heavens, triumphant and eternal. But we are the witness to the world. So let me ask a question of you. Are you willing to allow your life to be out of control and allow the Spirit to cause you to be out of control because of the loud, wild, unpredictable character of the Holy Spirit that wants to dwell within you? Can you imagine being out of control? Not with drugs, imagine. Not induced by drugs, but simply because God takes hold of your life and takes charge. Because you see, we're not really in control of our lives. Because you see, the Spirit and the breath of God is what gives us our very life. God gives us our breath every moment. And He can and does take it away from us, does He not? So if we understand that God ultimately has full control of our life, what's wrong with us being allow Him to have full reign of our life and guide everything we do? Not just you individually, but us as a congregation. And if we said, God, we're just going to put aside our way of doing things, and let You guide us. Can you imagine what might happen in that? It'd be scary. Wouldn't be any more scary than those folks sitting in that room in Pentecost when all those flames were flying and all those tongues were flying and they're trying to figure out what in the heck is going on. But if we believe that God is in charge, God will guide us in a way that we can do amazing things. We just have to be willing to let go of our own agenda and allow God to guide and direct us. And that's where the scariness comes, because we don't like to be out of control. Be honest with ourselves. We don't like to be out of control. We want to know what's going to happen minute to minute, moment by moment. But you see, life lived in the Spirit as Christian disciples is an important thing, because the Holy Spirit is a life-giving power and that is able to create, sanctify, and sustain each one of us and help us to grow into a new community. And that starts with understanding that we are known as a community of fruits. Now, you can decide which one of these fruits you are and which one of them you're not. That fruit is love, peace, joy, self-control, faithfulness, gentleness, kindness, patience, and goodness. And the Spirit then brings freedom from bondage, breaks us loose of those chains that bind us up and binds and gets us free of the bondage and the oppression and the sin and the death, and comes as love, because that is the first gift of the fruit of the Spirit. So if we can let God love us and free us of those places where we get hung up and then grow into what God wants us to be, we can become amazing people as Christians. If we allow the Spirit to work with us, I want you to think about, how does the Spirit work within you? Is the Spirit something you're aware of in your body and aware of your sense of direction? Or is it something you say, I'm going to stay as far away from that Spirit thing as I can get? But you see, we don't want to say no to the Spirit, because the Spirit is part of God. Sometimes it's a matter of simply opening our minds, opening our hearts, and opening our ears, and allowing God to speak to us and helping us to hear what He wants us to hear. And then being willing to humble ourselves to His desire for us. Sometimes that means we have to give up things. But sometimes when we give up things, that makes it better for us. Because sometimes there's things that we don't want to give up that we really should. But if we open ourselves to God's Spirit, if we become relevant, if we become enthusiastic, if we become authentic, and most of all, if we are loving, the Spirit can work within each one of us in a miraculous way so that we together can be more than we are individually as persons by and of ourselves. Together we are more with the body of Christ. Him died, crucified, and resurrected on the third day. For we believe in the Holy Spirit, the the Holy Catholic Universal Church, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Go out into the world, that your spirit will continue to flow and through, in and through and over and around us. That as we meet people on the street this week, that we will be understanding of where they are, be enthusiastic about being with them, about being comfortable and being authentic with them. And most of all, may we love them for who they are and as they are. We give you thanks, O God, that your spirit goes with us, surrounds us and surrounds everyone this day. But help us to be your people and to speak the language of Jesus Christ, that they will see you in us as we go out into the world. We ask and we pray all of this in your name we pray. Amen.
The church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ her Lord.
We want to thank you for being a part of Foundations for Living this morning and remind you that every Sunday morning at 9:30, we meet in the sanctuary at the Van Buren United Methodist Church. We would love to have you come and be a part of us here in Van Buren, or join us on the air again next week with Foundations for Living. Also, you may hear this and other messages on our website at vanburenumc.org.
You have been listening to Foundations for Living, a presentation of the Van Buren United Methodist Church,
underwritten by Fincannon Ford of Hartford City.